Welcome back to the Johnny Landoff Chevrolet Line Change on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Eric, Cam, TJ, and Matt with you from the Twin Peaks in Chesterfield. A couple more finals from the NCAA tournament. Florida over East Tennessee State, 80-65. And West Virginia over Bucknell, 86-80. Both four seeds winning there. So far in the six games that have gone final, no upset by seed. That's about to change, though, because Middle Tennessee is crushing Minnesota, 55-40. So that's a 12-5.
That's because I said so.
Oh, boy.
I think that was a 12-5 that pretty much everybody picked. And so Middle Tennessee is well ahead there. In fact, they
Big
were
Al's
the biggest
here.
Favorite.
Big Al,
Big Al is
what
in
a
the
baby.
House.
What a
Big
baby.
Al, how are you, buddy?
And it's Dave Matter is with us, the writer for covers Mizzou for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, joins us now on the Ryan Kelly phone lines. Dave, how are you?
Good, guys. How's it going?
Doing well. So what do you think it was? Today, of course, we learn officially that Tom Crean was fired by Indiana, which many people suspected it would go that way. What do you think it – because Mizzou clearly wanted Konzo Martin, and he was their first choice. You give a guy a seven-year deal for $3 million. He's the guy you wanted. What put him above everybody else, including Crean, in their mind?
You know, I think he's kind of the total package. You know, you've got a track record. It's not like they hired a guy who's only been an assistant or only been at a lower level. He's recruited at the high major level. He's got ties to the region, obviously. He's coached in the state. He's coached in Missouri's conference. It's hard to find something where you say, gosh, well, I just wish he was better at this or better in this area. He's only been in two NCAA tournaments as a head coach. But I think when you dig deeper and you look at the situations he inherited or the situations he accepted, you know, there's reasons for all of that. So I just think there were fewer questions about him, and I think if when you meet him, his demeanor, I think his personality is just, I think it fits this part of the country, this school, and really what this program needs right now.
Dave, I agree with everything you just said. I personally thought I would have probably hired Crean if I had the choice, but I get why they didn't, and personality matters and fit matters. But I think the one legitimate criticism of Konzo Martin is the fact that, and I went back and looked at where his teams ranked in offensively and defensively, and it's amazing what he did at both Tennessee and Cal. When his first year at Cal, they were 192nd in the country defensively. Last year, they finished 21st. At Tennessee, his first year, they were 115th. His third year, final year, they were 18th. So defensively, the improvement was unbelievable. But offensively, when he took over at Tennessee, his first year, they were 152nd. By the time he left, they were only up to 131st. And at Cal, they actually got worse. They were 292nd this year. And Cal is a place where he had multiple four-star and multiple five-star recruits. So I think if you're looking at sort of a knock on him, it would be the developing offense. He's had talent, but he hasn't really been able to develop elite or even very good offenses.
Yeah, he's a defensive-minded guy. There's no doubt about that. I mean, if you ask any coach what the scouting report on a Konzo Martin team is, it's all about defense. He runs a motion offense. It's nothing really flashy. I think a lot of time, you know, offenses are dictated a little bit more by the talent, the caliber of athletes and players you have. His last team at Tennessee was really hard to guard. He had some really good players on there, on Jordan McRae and Josh Richardson, who's been in the NBA for a while now. You know, Jarnell Stokes, who was a really good college player. So, you know, I think that the numbers, yeah, they're not that flashy. I think when you watch them play offensively, they don't blow you away. But I think that they're always kind of grounded in pretty solid defense. And that's really been the calling card of his teams and his career.
Dave, I've heard conflicting reports a little bit about some people said that Illinois was inquiring, and some people have even reported that they offered him a job. And then I've seen people dispute that as well. What have you heard on that? And because all along we had heard that if both jobs opened up and everything was equal, that it seemed as if he would prefer going to Champaign.
Yeah, you know, that was kind of the buzz, you know, when both schools were in the running for somebody was, hey, can Missouri outbid Illinois? Is it a more attractive position for him, more job? I mean, he's a Big Ten guy playing at Purdue and coaching there for a long time. But, you know, in the end, I don't know if that was that big of a deal. And I don't really know. I can't get a clear answer if he was somebody that Illinois really pursued. I mean, the kind of the what a lot of people around kind of the industry thought, and a lot of times it's just people blowing smoke and kind of an echo chamber of what they're hearing, is that Illinois was aiming a little bit higher, somebody that didn't necessarily lose in the first round of the NIT, somebody that's still going to be coaching at least this weekend and maybe longer in the NCAA tournament, somebody that would maybe capture a little bit more buzz for their program right now. Not that Konzo Martin doesn't and doesn't at Missouri, but that's just kind of what the feel was. So I don't know. I don't know if really there was an offer for him or not. Most people, like I said, thought that it would be a pretty ideal fit, being a guy from Illinois. Technically, he's from East St. Louis, but is familiar with the area and familiar with the region. He almost went to Illinois out of high school. They were hit with some NCAA sanctions, and they lost a bunch of recruits back in the early 90s when he was considering going there. But, you know, in the end, he ended up in Missouri. So it'll be an interesting storyline when the Bragging Rights game comes along here in December.
Dave, you hear a lot that people say about Mizzou not doing enough to keep local talent home. And I think that the people that have, the guys that have come through here in the last 10 years or so that have went elsewhere, it's a justifiable claim. Is Konzo the type of guy that can close those barriers as well as extend Mizzou's reach into Illinois in a stronger fashion?
I think he's got the potential to do that. You know, he knows the area better than any coach that Missouri has hired. I mean, you think about where the coaches came from since Norm Stewart. You had Quinn Snyder, who was a guy from the state of Washington who played at Duke, so he really had no connections in the Midwest. Mike Anderson, you know, he knew the Midwest. He was an Arkansas guy from played at Tulsa. Frank Haith was an East Coast guy that played coached at Miami. And then Kim Anderson is a mid-Missouri guy, but he recruited all over when he coached for Norm Stewart and when he coached at Central Missouri. But none of those guys were a St. Louis guy. So, you know, I think Konzo's natural ties to the area should be able to help him. He knows the region. He knows people, I'm sure. And I think when it comes down to it, I think it's his personality and just his demeanor, his toughness that he kind of shows when you meet him, when you watch him coach. So I think that will all be positive. He did a nice job in a short time at Cal, getting some players from out in California, and he also got some national recruits. He got Jaylen Brown, who was from Atlanta, and he beat out, you know, all the blue bloods for him, which was really impressive at the time when he was able to get him. So I think he's got potential. You know, the thing is, when you move from job to job like he has, he's never really laid down his roots anywhere and never been able to establish, you know, what he's trying to do. So not that that's a knock on him. It's just his track record is it's a little bit hard to measure sometimes.
Dave Matter, Mizzou beat writer for the Post-Dispatch, joining us here on the Line Change driven by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. Percentage chance that Michael Porter plays for Mizzou next season?
I think it's pretty good. You know, people here think that it's maybe not a given, but that it's a really strong possibility. You know, it depends on who you talk to. But, you know, from what I always understood, just kind of viewing that situation, that Michael Jr. was always looking for a reason to stay at home. He's a homebody. His family is so important to him. He's got his siblings here still. He grew up basically in Mizzou Arena. They moved here when he was in sixth grade, and he shot all the time at the arena when his dad was on the women's staff and was over there constantly and fell in love with the place. And, you know, the program just wasn't trending in the right direction when it was time for him to make a decision. So, you know, if they get his dad on board, which it sounds like there's a good shot of that happening, obviously then there's a really good shot of him coming to Missouri to play here this year for his one-and-done year in college basketball. So at this rate, I don't know about throwing percentages down there, but I think it's a pretty good chance that this happens.
Last question for you, Dave. I sort of think that the local ties thing is overblown. When you look at the best recruiters in college basketball, it's the John Calipari's, it is the Bill Self's, it is the Roy Williams, Coach K. Those guys aren't recruiting, honestly, locally anyway. And in basketball, we talk about this kind of all the time, much differently than in football. A lot of times you're getting the national guys, and sometimes they're in your backyard, but a lot of times they're not, and those are the guys that you have to go get. So while we use this as one of the pros as the reasons you want to go get him, I sort of think that is kind of overblown, because oftentimes he's going to have to go get guys that are bigger names and bigger recruits out of state. What's your take on that?
No, I absolutely agree. I mean, basketball is much more a national recruiting game. And I think, you know, if it weren't for the Jason Tatums and, the guys that have come out of here, this area, the last couple of years, and a couple of the seniors and juniors that are in the area right now, if it weren't for those guys, we probably wouldn't even be talking about this being that much of a factor. But we've hit a cycle here where this great amount of talent is in the region. And it's the same for football right now, too. But it's not always going to be like that. So, yeah, I mean, you can survive in basketball by not getting your local guys, because you're only signing two or three, sometimes four guys a year anyway, and you can get them from anywhere. Now, football, if you go 2 years and you have great numbers coming in your state and you're missing out on the vast majority of them, then that's a little bit more troubling. But basketball, when you're only signing a few guys a year, yeah, you're right. It's not that big of an issue. I think it's more of a PR kind of image issue. The questions start to pop up. Gosh, how good can this coach be if he can't attract these kids that are, you know, right underneath, right in his backyard, and bring them to Mizzou? What does that say about the program? That's when those kind of questions come up. But in the end, if he goes out to California, down to Texas, goes to New York, and finds somebody that can score points, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter that much.
Dave, before we let you go, there is one Mizzou team playing postseason basketball, and that's the Lady Tigers, and they open tournament play tomorrow. Do they have a chance to make a run, you think?
I think so. You know, they play South Florida tomorrow, and if they win that, they probably get Florida State on Florida State's home court. The women's tournament's so different that they play at a neutral site. But, you know, this team, they did this a year ago. They won a game last year in the tournament as an underseeded team, and then played Texas, lost to Texas on their home court. So the bulk of this team has been through the tournament before. They know what it's like. It's not going to be new for them. I wouldn't be shocked to see them make the Sweet 16. If they would, that would be a huge accomplishment for Robin Pinchot and her program.
Dave, thank you so much for the time, man. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave Matter, thanks, joining us on the Ryan Kelly phone line, the beat writer for Mizzou for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com.
Oh, hey,
he's
Cam.
On Twitter,
hey,
at Dave_Matter.
Hey, guys.
Cam's been doing sit-ups for the last hour on the side of the table.
Push-ups
here.
And sit-ups for all these girls.
How's that bracket, Cam?
I don't know.
Did you have Middle Tennessee? They're
yes,
about to beat Minnesota.
Yes,
well,
I did.
There's still 9 minutes left. They're up 60-49.
Well, that's a good team.
I believe I do have them.
What
kind of mascot do they have?
I don't even know what they
exactly.
are.
All right. Well, we talked about this.
That's a good question. I'm going to look that up.
The 12 seeds are like there's just no way Wichita State should be a 10 seed. There's no way Middle Tennessee State should be a 12 seed.
The Blue Raiders.
They do this on purpose. You have to have some of the higher seeds to keep people interested. Although I will say, I don't think we as a nation really like the underdog as much as we say, because if you go back and look at the ratings, the lowest rated games are always when you have the super bad seeds, or you want to call it high or low. The top seeded teams, when it's one versus one, if you have Duke versus Louisville, if you have Duke versus Kentucky, those are your highest rated games always.
Let me amend what you said slightly. We like it early. We like the upset early,
yes,
and the drama, but then when we get later, we want the blue buzz.
The year that George Mason went on that run, people were not happy when they ended up in the Final Four, and it's like my bracket shot. I don't care about this team playing anymore.
Yeah, and I like to see, like, you guys remember, sometimes it's the high seed. You guys remember West Virginia with that giant center, Pitsnoggle, and those guys that were just draining threes from everywhere, and they went on that run. You had VCU do it. You had George Mason do it. And it's a lot of fun, and I'll watch it. And I really enjoyed when Butler played Duke in the championship, but the ratings just don't reflect that. Generally, we want to see the national brands play against each other, and we want to see the one seeds go at it.
Don't you hate when people talk up their bracket like, oh, I'm doing so well? If Middle Tennessee wins and Northwestern wins, I'll be 8-0. Northwestern's leading Vanderbilt 40-30.
I'm undefeated here, too.
All right,
I'm in first place.
You're tied for first.
I'm in first, though.
That's true. Yeah, tied for first is still first.
Alternative facts of facts now. Remember that.
I've heard that.
855-282.
Oh, hey, Cam.
855 on text line. Cam's been over there watching basketball, enjoying himself.
Yeah,
there.
I have.
Cam did a Rubik's Cube. He did
I got a good work. I went to Chesterfield Mall and went shopping.
Yeah, we're right here by the Chesterfield Mall at Twin Peaks at 963 Chesterfield Court is the official address if you want to come on out. We'll be here for another hour. And we were talking to Dave there, obviously, about a lot about Konzo Martin. And when I was looking at the stats today, It is. Look, that's his reputation. Hard-nosed defensive, and the stats back it up.
Boring offense.
Right. But offensively, he has not been able to develop a really high-powered offense with some good, pretty good talent. Now, again, he's only been in a program for 3 years.
Pretty good. We're talking about a guy that had the number two or three pick overall.
Number three last year and has a top 25 pick this year if he comes out.
When you have players like that, I mean, the problem is he's running like a basic motion offense. It's not anything. It's not, you know, the reason people got excited when Mike Anderson was here is because it was a run and gun. Now you freaked out when you had to get into a half court because you couldn't score any points and nobody knew what to do in regular motion. But it was a lot of fun seeing Phil Pressey get out and run, and it was a lot of fun seeing Damari Carroll at that size get out and run, and that was exciting. When you just kind of walk it up the floor and you have this kind of go where you need to make it work motion offense, that's not a lot of fun to watch.
And look, we're nitpicking here. You're coming off a three straight 20 loss seasons, but I'm pretty confident he's going to recruit. I'm pretty confident his teams are going to play great defense, and he's going to get them back to 20 wins fairly quickly. I think the only question with him, and Gabe Yarman touched on this yesterday, is his ceiling 23 or 24 wins and right, you know, on the tournament, maybe you get in, maybe you make a little bit of a run, or is his ceiling an elite program that's contending, you know, year after year for SEC titles?
I think, let's say this, Frank Haith won 30 games 1 year
at
Mizzou.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that Konzo is at the very least a coach on that same par. So it's no worries
if
there.
If you get the right guys in your system. Yeah. And you think about that team. I mean, that had two draft picks. Kim English, I think, and Marcus Emmer are both second-round guys. But neither one of them stuck in the NBA, and that was just his guys that he needed for that team, and they were unbelievable for him that year. You go 30-2, finally get knocked out in the first round, whatever. That was a great team.
Well, he had a lot of great college basketball players, and as much as we focus on getting the Michael Porters, who are going to probably be NBA All-Star caliber players, these are college coaches charged with putting together college teams. And they did that. He put together good college teams. I want for Konzo Martin to get the absolute best college talent that he can for this team. And if a couple of them make it to the next level, so be it. That means that you hit a home run. But you can win a lot of games by hitting doubles and singles, too.
You can. And your issue you run into is when a great coach gets a hold of NBA All-Star talent and makes them a great college team. When Coach K gets in and starts doing damage, when Roy Williams starts doing some things, now you're in trouble. So you've got to get the NBA talent. And you have whiffed on it in St. Louis specifically over the last 10 years. You can't continue to whiff, which is why we're talking about the local ties. But you can get them nationally. No, nobody's complaining if Marcus Denman had come from California. If Kim English came from Baltimore, right? He was a guy that was the face of the program for years. He came from Baltimore. And everybody considers Kim English to be what we call a true son because he loves Missouri. I don't care that he came from Maryland. You don't need to lock up the borders. Kim English was a really good player for us.
The Kirkwood Cudlet has a good point on the text line. I'd rather have 23 to 25 wins per year consistently than a 30-win season that gets Martin plucked away by Syracuse or someone else.
I don't see that.
I don't think so either with that deal. Look, if Duke came open and they wanted him, he'd listen, I'm sure, as any coach in the country would. But, I have a hard time seeing him leaving unless it's one of those destination jobs, and there aren't that many of
them. But if you're doing that here in your hometown, where is the next step? That's sort of the thing. That's why you don't worry about Barry Odom. If he does it here, he's not going anywhere. When you grew up in the Midwest, do you actually care to go over to a Duke? If you're doing it, because think about it. The success you would have to have here.
Right. You would have
in order
to
get picked
success.
Up from there would have to be high level. And then why do it anywhere else?
Yeah, because you're already at that point.
You're not
winning.
Just going to do it once and then take the next job. You may go get a Texas or you may go get a job like that if it looks like you're showing promise and continue to grow. You're not getting one of the blue bloods. So if you're doing that here and you're at 28 to 30 wins every year, why are you moving?
It's a good point. And the way Mizzou's paying up now, they'd probably match a salary too. Real quick, Larry Nichols' Dirty Sock says, over the last five seasons, betting $100,000 on the money line of every 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15 seed in the first round would have won $5,200. I can't verify that information, but that's quite a lot. On the Ryan Kelly phone line, Kim, we got a special caller right now.
Again.
Who wants to talk to you.
Who?
Who's there on the line?
Vladimir.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, God.
Get back in your cage.
I'm halfway. I'm in the middle of the ocean. I'm swimming over to get you. I'm almost here for you. Where are you at? The double peak? Twin peak?
Who let you out? Who let you out?
Yeah, no, I broke out. I ate through my chain in the cave. I broke out. Hey, where are you at? I want to come out there.
Dude, we're in Twin Peaks in Chesterfield, man. Come on by. They'll let you in.
Hey, do they have vodka there? I want to.
Oh, they got vodka. They got food, too. I haven't fed you in like 2 weeks. I'm sure you're starving.
Support the sponsors.
Support the sponsors.
The Blue need me for the playoffs.
They do. You're right. You're right. Well, come on over here. We'll feed you, buddy.
Cam, you listen to me, Cam. You think you talk so much trash on me. Me, you, we go to the parking lot. We do this like real Russian. We go out to the parking lot and we fight.
I've been complimenting you for like 3 days straight, and you know why.
Well, I've been swimming
you're gifted.
The ocean to get there to you.
All right, Vladdy. All right, Sabatka. We'll see you. We'll see you in a couple hours. Hey, good luck with your travels.
It's Sabatka.
Good luck. Good luck, Sabatka. Jesus Christ.
You realize when he does eventually come back and play for the Blues, he's
almost,
never coming on this show.
Well, he's almost here. Hopefully the weather's okay for him.
He's taking the Cuban route.
I still haven't figured out how he escaped. I had him tied up pretty damn
he
good.
He said he chewed through it. He's determined.
He must be pretty hungry. Yeah. He must be pretty hungry, as he should, because I've been starving.
What do they eat in Russia? Like baked potatoes and vodka?
Vodka. Yeah, exactly.
855-282-8255 on the text line. We're hanging out at the Twin Peaks in Chesterfield, as Vladdy said. Watching some NCAA tournament basketball. 62-55 now, Middle Tennessee over Minnesota. 7 minutes left in the second, and Northwestern leads Vanderbilt by 10, 6 minutes into the second half. Eric Messersmith, Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, and Matt Whitener with you. It's the Line Change, driven by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.